The sermon text is from the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, beginning at verse 15. And at this time, Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren, a gathering of about 120 persons was there together, and said, "Brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us and received his portion in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all who were living in Jerusalem, so that in their own language that field was called Acheldama, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let your homestead be made desolate, and let no man dwell in it, and his office let another take.' It is therefore necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these should become a witness with us of his resurrection." And they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "Thou, Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show which one of these two thou hast chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they drew lots for them, and the lot fell to Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Here ends the reading. Today is St. Matthias Day. The Emperor Charles V was born on this day, and he died on St. Matthew's Day. One of the comforters at his deathbed told him that with these two great saints, Matthew and Matthias, to protect him, he could freely enter with confidence into the hereafter. Yet another comforter who told him that Christ's death is the only source of comfort and mercy for sinners. Which of these two messages Charles used to support his spirit as he departed this life, I don't know. But I do want to speak of the gospel that Matthias himself was called to preach, namely that Jesus Christ is the world's hope and all-sufficient Savior. The text from Acts 1 for today, that is the reading for St. Matthias Day, narrates how he was chosen to be one of the apostles. "Now," he said, "in the commission given by Jesus to the apostles, you will be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Peter calls this work the ministry. And ultimately, all the pastors of the church have a share in this ministry. If they are not apostles, which most of them are not, and which all of them today are not, then they are to use the apostles' word communicated to us in the Holy Scripture to announce Christ and his saving work to the world. For that reason, those of us who are in the holy ministry and those who will soon be called into it have the greatest interest in the preaching and teaching which was committed to Matthias. For that our work also, the Lord makes a lot fall upon us also, and we must undertake our task with utter seriousness for the Lord's sake and also for the sake of those who are to benefit from it. Matthias was called to take the place of Judas. Both the collect and the special hymn verse for this day expound this part of the pericope with a prayer that the church may be preserved from false teachers such as Judas was. Now, from one point of view, it's not hard to take the place of Judas Iscariot. Anyone with sinful flesh can do it. A minister is easily tempted to build up and follow his own ideas, wrong ideas, about what the message of Jesus and the work of the kingdom should be, and to promote those ideas in such a way that he betrays the cause of Christ and works against the will and intention of the Lord. I remember when I was studying at Concordia St. Paul, Minnesota, that Dr. Taylor, the president there, in a talk with students, once said that a true theologian comes to feel an inner revulsion whenever he hears false doctrine. That is, he will not take it lightly, but he will abhor it in his soul and be grieved by it and long to see it dispelled by the Word of God. That counsel from Dr. Taylor has always impressed me and stuck with me, and it's a true godly piece of advice for Christian ministers. It is the attitude that ministers ought to have, as St. Paul says, do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, a workman that has no cause to be ashamed, who correctly analyzes the words of the truth, and stay away from those unholy and empty discussions that just lead people further on into godliness, ungodliness. Their teaching spreads like gangrene. We pray for wisdom to be able to recognize error and to oppose it lovingly, humbly, but also steadfastly. Matthias was to take Judas' place not simply as a dead man, as a living man fills the place of a dead man, but he was to replace unfaithfulness with a faithful ministry of the Word. God's name is hallowed when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as the children of God also live a holy life according to it. This helps us to do, dear Father in heaven. The message of the ministry comes from Jesus. It points to Jesus, explains his work, proclaims his wondrous message, his life-giving words, and explains them, and calls men to find forgiveness and renewal in him. Matthias and Peter and the other apostles were in a position to be eyewitnesses to the appearance of God in the flesh for us men and for our salvation. Jesus went in and out among them, beginning from the time when he was baptized with the baptism of John, and including everything up to the time when he was taken up in the clouds in his ascension. They heard him tell who he was and what he was doing. They heard him say that he was one with the Father and had been sent from the Father. They heard him say that he was the good shepherd who had come that men might have life abundantly through him, that no one comes to the Father except through faith in him. They had heard him rebuke the self-righteous and give rest and peace to those who are weary and heavy laden. They had heard him announce that he was shedding his blood for the remission of sins, and they had seen him do it on the cross, and they had seen him risen from the dead, a victorious Savior, a powerful head and helper of his people, and a king with an everlasting kingdom. This message that comes from Jesus and centers in Jesus and which is transmitted to us through the apostles' witness, that is the message of the Christian ministry, the ministry of the Word. All ministers have the responsibility and the God-given magnificent possibility to say what Jesus said and to want what Jesus wants, that men and women should hear the truth and be saved and sanctified by it. George Whitefield wrote to Benjamin Franklin, "Now that you have studied the mysteries of electricity, I recommend to you the studies of the mysteries of the new birth." And then he explained why he had brought this in. "I must always have something for Christ in my letter." That's the right attitude of the Christian minister. I must always have something to say for Christ. To the person who does not realize his need for grace, like Ben Franklin, the minister says, "I must always have something for Christ. You need him." To his congregation, he says, "I must have something for Christ. He is the head of this church." To those seeking guidance for their lives, "I must have something for Christ. He gives rest and peace to the soul, and his burden is light." To the dying and the grieving, "I must have something for Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. The loyalty to Christ, which a Matthias has and a Judas does not, is a loyalty of love rooted in awareness of what Christ has done for us. His blood and righteousness imputed to us by divine grace is indeed the only source of mercy and comfort for us sinners. Judas went into perdition, but in Christ we find deliverance from perdition. I told him how the field of blood was bought with the price of Christ's innocent blood. Ultimately, when the money was used that had been given to Judas for betraying him, and there is something else, far more important, which can be said to be bought with that innocent blood and that innocent death. That is, your body and soul and mind, for we are not our own. We are bought with a price. We belong to Christ the Redeemer. Believing these things, we praise God, and we have steadfastness in our faith. We have strength to face temptation and challenge, and we have joy in the ministry which the Lord has given us. For we are witnesses to the greatness of Christ. Amen.